You tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Welcome to Transformer Artist Interviews on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Victoria Reese, the founder and director of Transformer. Transformer is a nonprofit visual arts organization located at 1404 P Street Northwest in Washington, D.C. I founded Transformer in 2002 to be a consistent platform for emerging visual artists to present their work and experiment with contemporary visual art practices. We've been operating out of our storefront space at 1404 P Street now for about 16 years, and we are getting ready to present a project with the Environmental Performance Agency, who I'm here with today. Their program at Transformer opens May 5th, 2018, and runs until June 16th. And I'm very pleased to be here today with Andrea
Hange,
and also Catherine Growl and Ellie Irons, who are part of the Environmental Performance Agency. And they're going to speak today about their work, how they founded the EPA, and what their project here in Washington, D.C. is all about. So I think let's start with the name Environmental Performance Agency and how you all founded this really dynamic artist collective.
Okay, thanks so much, Victoria, for having us here. And I would also like to introduce our other member, which is Christopher Kennedy, which is today not on the radio show, but it's part of our collective. So we are four members. But also we consider actually the urban spontaneous plans as part of our guidance of members. So the EPA, Environmental Performance Agency, is an artist collective which imagines a governmental agency that is beyond human. We are founded each other in 2017 and named in our name in response to the proposed defunding of the U.S. Environment Protection Agency. We are appropriating the acronym EPA, and the primary goal as our collective is to shift thinking around the terms environment, performing, and aging using artistic, social, and embodied kinesthetic practices. And maybe Ellie and Carrie and Catherine maybe would like to also say more about it.
I think you covered some really great bases there. I mean, certainly, this is Ellie, by the way, certainly the kind of proposed dismantling and defunding of the EPA that we all learned about with the election in 2016 and the appointment of Scott Pruitt drove us to feel like the work that we'd already been doing with spontaneous urban plants as kind of guides and mentors was becoming much more urgent, and that we needed to address this directly. So I think that appropriating of the acronym of a federal agency just kind of clarified things for us.
Okay.
Maybe this is Catherine, and maybe just to add on also a much longer timeline we're addressing. I think especially with our focus on kinesthetic and embodied practices and shifting the paradigm to include non-human agents, I think we are also addressing really a Western heritage of the Anthropocene, of the man-dominated environment, and thinking of how to shift those paradigms on a much deeper level. And partially that work is playing with rhetoric and playing with appropriating these agencies and bureaucratic processes. But on the other hand, we have like a really dedicated field practice that is about being outside and being in the environment, in the urban environment, and supporting the kind of detoxing that needs to happen on the environmental level.
So at Transformer this spring, you're going to be transforming our space into the Department of Weedy Affairs. And I understand that part of that will be Weedy Island of refugee plants from the marginal ecologies. Can you speak a little bit about what the Department of Weedy Affairs is and what the mission of the department is, your goals are during your 5 weeks in Washington?
Okay, the Department of Weedy Affairs is actually, we even saying it's a new EPA office. And it's a new EPA office that is actually the agency I have the non-humans. So when, like on Saturday, when the opening is, right, this Saturday is the opening of it, yes, Chris and me are will be there, but we will be speak on behalf of the urban spontaneous plants. So we have 17 members. Not all of the 17 members as live plants are there, but you can see their portraits on the wall. And each of the members have their own, like, job descriptions, which came out of their characteristics. So there is example, there is mugwort. And mugwort, which has a very rhizome system, a root system that goes here now. So mugwort's position is actually a rhizome biologist. So when we are there on Saturday, and also how the exhibition is set up, is really that people can, visitors to go to Transformer can really engage in very different way what it would mean if other non-humans have agency in decision-making. Mm-hmm. But besides that, it's really an office. We set it in like an office. So across that portrait, Department of Weedy Affairs portrait staff of the species with pressed plants, leaves, is actually a board where also you can read all the different things that happened at the US EPA, what happened the last 1 year since Scott Pruitt was going into the office, what got taking away like the climate change on their website. So people can engage in this very two different ways.
Okay.
Something I want to add, I think maybe for the listeners to understand, is that our collective is usually based in New York City. And when we got this opportunity to do a show in Washington, D.C., this really became this amazing opportunity for us to have a real confrontation with these government agencies and be in such proximity to the actual EPA, the U.S. EPA. And we really wanted to address, like, what does it mean to have a government agency, and how can we rally public support? So one big aspect of the show is this hotline we have where people can call in, leave messages for John Pruitt, and the show will culminate with this delivering of all these public voices.
Yeah, it sounds like you took a big step from going from exploring urban ecologies in New York to, of course, you're also exploring urban ecologies here in Washington and doing a weedy walk on the mall and exploring the urban spontaneous plant life that exists on the mall here in Washington, D.C. I wonder if you could speak a little bit about that, and then also how that for you translated into the bigger opportunity of connecting to the actual EPA here in Washington and addressing the dismantling of services and information that's being provided or no longer provided.
In terms of the positioning of the actual living plants in the gallery, and I haven't been, as Catherine mentioned, mostly we're based in New York, so I've been watching the installation from afar and noticed that Chris and Andrea have been broadcasting kind of on Instagram the way they're engaging with these rural ecologies in D.C., and it's quite different. They found the plants that have been placed into the gallery in a, like, planter box that was piled by the trash cans getting ready to be put into a dumpster, and collected the weedy plants that were sprouting in this planter that's maybe meant for pansies or something, and then brought them into the gallery. So those are the plants you'll be able to meet on Saturday. and throughout the exhibition. In terms of On Behalf of Life, yeah, this is a thing that came out of a workshop that Chris and I put together with the Environmental Performance Agency team to look at how our federal bureaucracy functions. And this was complex. We had a big sheet of paper laid all across our studio floor, and we're trying to diagram it. And we discovered in that process that the EPA was taking comments for a new strategic plan for the next 4 years, and found that the plan was abhorrent in terms of removing all sorts of inferences to climate change and to protecting air and water. And we started to think, like, what should a governmental agency be doing, and what do we hope for it to do? So we made this On Behalf of .life website to allow people to comment through the EPA's public comment system, but on behalf of a species that can't type in a box. So if you go to the website right now, it's actually been updated for our engagement with Transformer to allow people to call in or text on behalf of an organism. So if you go to onbehalfof.life, you'll see that the website pops up a species that you can think about in relationship to ecological justice and environmental protection for all life.
So I see we have...
Oh, and then at the close of the exhibition, we intend to take these comments and use them as part of our public walk on the National Mall, where we'll walk down to the U.S. EPA.
This is so great. Yes, so there's a parade planned for... June 15th, where the Environmental Performance Agency will lead a public march to deliver the archive of messages that they have been collected to the actual EPA headquarters here. And I also want to share that in addition to the website, On Behalf of .life, there is a hotline number that will be set up at Transformer, 240-808-2372, where people can call in and leave messages that will be directed specifically to Scott Pruitt and the U.S. EPA officials on behalf of a life form who can't.
And that is actually active as of this morning.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So yeah, so people
we
can
are
start
ready
already.
To start taking submissions.
That's great. So I wanted to also ask a little bit about some of the other public programming that you have planned as part of the Department of Weedy Affairs, starting with this Saturday, May 5th, teaching a human the urban weeds alphabet. What's going to be happening with that, and how can audiences participate?
Okay, how audience can participate, it happens three times during the day, like 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and 7 o'clock. So truth interaction with the urban weeds plant kinesthetically, I actually, through a long process, developed a written alphabet of each of the 17 members. So that's on the wall. Then when people come, I'm actually choosing a few of them, how to pronounce them, which is really I'm performing them. So I'm performing the letter of the alphabet. Say it's some example. Horsewit has a letter that you see, and it's. I found out when I worked with it, it's really not the Latin alphabet. So it became their own new alphabet with their own letter. And then I, through performing, it's the pronunciation of that letter. So people witness how you actually would say that letter, but it's truth movement.
So what are some of the urban ecology plants, that the different plants of the urban ecology that would be featured in the alphabet?
Okay, so it will be featured mugwort, horsewheat, Japanese nutweed, Japanese hops, and also prickly lettuce.
And these can all be found within all different urban environments.
Well, what I learned, I mean, three of them are actually in the gallery, so which I will show people to which one they are. And the others are actually on field right now, on field work. And I noticed here in Washington, D.C., only for this week that I was here, that already the combination, how these different spontaneous plants are together, that here are very different ones than in New York City. Even here, I see one other one that we don't see much in New York City is the nettle. And we need to be aware, weeds, you know, spontaneous urban plants, is in context how people see, you know, for everybody it's different what is a weed. and we made that name. So a lot of these plants in a different context, like, say, the example, Japanese knotweed, is where it originally came from, not a weed, because there is an insect who eats actually that plant a lot, likes that plant, so it never gets, can take over such quickly land. Mm-hmm. But here, because we imported it as an oriental plant in around 1870, and then didn't want it anymore, that plant, it just likes the soil and likes actually comes fast when things are disturbed.
That's so interesting. Yeah. It's a rejected plant, so now we have considered it its weed status, which I like that you're taking away the negative connotation and referring to these plants in a different way. And I wonder if, Ellie, maybe you could speak a little, I'm jumping ahead to your program on June 9th, but I wonder if you could speak a little bit about what a weedy walking tour on the National Mall will be like, and if you've already, in addition to nettles, other plant life that you are seeing in Washington that's been unique or surprising.
Sure. Yeah, I was lucky enough to be in D.C. in March for a symposium at the National Academy of Sciences, and I spent most of my breaks from the symposium on the National Mall. I'm expecting that things will have changed a bit by the time we're there in June, but lawn ecology is very different. I mean, I still think of lawns as a disturbance, but it's a different kind of disturbed ecosystem that's carefully maintained by humans versus the kind of disturbed ecosystem where we kind of like turn things up and then walk away and things kind of revert supposedly to wildness. So on the National Mall, we're expecting to see lots of plants that are kind of in this rogue hiding state where they grow really flat so that they can continue to coexist with the lawn even as the mowers come through. And I noticed a few things that didn't look familiar to me when I was there, and I haven't identified them yet. Before the walk, certainly in June, we'll know a little bit more about who we'll be interacting with. But Chris and I plan a kind of hybrid walking tour that involves both kind of a traditional identifying of plants, as Andrea mentioned, we like to do, put a name on it, but also a kind of unpacking of that through movement exercises and through our kind of the EPA's embodied science techniques that ask for ways of knowing that don't kind of go, is it yes or no, is it this, is it not? So that's what we're imagining.
Mm-hmm. It's so looking forward to it. So I wanted to ask, maybe direct this towards Catherine, the Environmental Performance Agency, I mean, it's a conceptual art project. You do include performance in the name of the collective, and I know that you're going to be leading a program on May 19th called Crack the Patriarchy, Moving, Thinking, and Feeling with Plants that Break Through Cracks in Asphalt. And I wonder if you could speak a little bit to the actual, you know, in addition to this being performative in terms of the conceptual components of the Environmental Performance Agency, how do you actually incorporate movement into the work that you all are doing?
Sure. So just to give a little bit of an overview of what that workshop will be like, and that's building on this ongoing research of just observing plants that break through the cracks. So the workshop will be kind of a walk outside and observing different cracks and plants breaking through those cracks, and then starting from those observations, translating those observations into movement explorations. And the workshop will be specifically geared towards people who identify as women and who consider themselves resistors of the patriarchy. And movement, I mean, Andrea probably can speak more to this, but just to give my opinion, because, movement really originates, like, under the surface in the body and gets to a lot of the kind of deeper emotional and what we often call kind of feminine ways of knowing and thinking. And I think that's where me and Andrea really became interested in being more explicit of dealing with the weeds as also a feminist issue. And so often the weeds are the marginalized, are kind of, yeah, really overlapping with a lot of language and quality that's also used for the oppression of women. And with the whole history of witches and herbalism and alternative medicine and self-healing and everything that kind of is in that lineage of narrative is stuff we'll be addressing in the workshop. And for a lot of people, those things are located in the body somewhere. It's not, it is on one hand an intellectual discourse and a political discourse, but on the other hand, it's also like a deeply emotional, physical, bodily discourse. So that's something we really want to try to get at in this workshop.
Yeah, and then add to this, it's really, we're starting first in a very, we have this, you know, a series of warm-up. So it's really a workshop that's not only, you know, people who call themselves movers. It's really for everybody. So it starts mostly, I start the warm-up with literally looking at your hands and seeing actually the lines in your hands and maybe even notice some cracks in your own skin. And then just do some warm-ups with the hands and then look the hands in relationship to the crack that you're observing it. What is the difference? How it feels to you? So time matters. So we will take a lot of time. We will moving, but also talking about it. So each sharing in the group how they sense things. And so in the end, it's a, yes, I see myself, and I think Catherine thinks the same way. We're seeing ourselves as guidance, leading it, and that's why we're calling leading it. But in the end, it's the whole group together who will join us, will make the workshop what it becomes, and how this crack the patriarchy will, in the end, find its form. And it's, and I think, you know, we're starting at the museum, right, at the Women's Museum, right?
You start at the a Transformer and then head down to the Women's Museum.
Yes,
for this,
yeah. And then if you have time, you also will looking going towards the US EPA and see where is the cracks there. So going from there, from one place to the other. So during our journey of traveling, we will have probably around five stops, six stops. And that's when we start to engage and with the plant and our bodies together in a very sensitive way. Sometimes we do it as a whole group, or Catherine and I give movement inspirations that allows two people to work together with one of this crack. Maybe, you know, it's always interesting. Also here in DC, it's the same than in New York City, horsebeat. It always comes alone, up very strong, straight, upright. So maybe one, two people together observe that and try to sense what that means in their body, where they can find it by just even looking at it or slowly touching it, but not touching it, and what that means. Mm.
There's such a rich complexity to how you all are pursuing this project, how you are pursuing the Environmental Performance Agency overall, as well as the Department of Weedy Affairs. And I know, looking at all of your bios, you each bring really comprehensive artistic and scientific and educational backgrounds to this project. As interdisciplinary artists within this visual arts context, I'm really fascinated with all of the different elements, really thoughtful elements that you are contributing to the presentation of the Department of Weedy Affairs, in addition to this being an overall conceptual project and the performative aspects. I know Andrea here today is in a jumpsuit and with the EPA on the back, and that within the gallery there are a lot of elements, visual elements, in addition to the plants. And I wonder if you can speak a little bit to some of what audience can anticipate experiencing when they come into Transformer and are in the Department of Weedy Affairs.
Yeah, one thing, when you come in the middle, as we say, it's an office, there is a table. But the table is actually fabricated as a water, as the Washington watershed, a part of the watershed that actually at this point the National Mall is on it. So even, you know, it invites actually an inviting audience that can take a plan about how they can guide themselves through the gallery. They can sit there. And the first thing we actually have here, there a little note, there is a little island inside in that table where they can have the first interaction. You know, like look at them, see them, what they tell them. Then in a, then across there is the training sessions, is a video where they can, it's a 19 minutes video, which is the participant of this video is Simon Johnson and the EP agents, where they can learn about different approaches. We call them training session to field work. But obviously you will see some are a little unusual. And you just even provoke other ways how you can, besides observing, how you can engage. Like an example, one thing is you see a woman cracking a piece of shape of asphalt, you know, to freeing up the soil. So it's like how different you can engage. So there's this training session there. And then, as I said, across this other wall is the whole wall of the portraits with each name, the Kamal name and the Latin name of each of the 17 staff member. And also each of the staff member, and I don't want to give everything away on the radio show because I'm on people right. coming, they can actually learn what profession each of this land member has. And the profession were developed out of the looking at the US EPA job descriptions. And then change them around in a way what each of these plants has the specificity. Like, you know, when you take a botanical book or when we engage, we see that each plant has their characteristic, like humans. We have each their own talent, right? And so each plant has a certain job. And I think this will be very interesting by them. Even go from plant to plant and think about it. Like what this means, okay, this is this plant with this common name, this Latin name, and now it has this job description. And what that would change if that plant would be part of an EPA office. Mm-hmm.
Ellie, I'm curious, I want to direct this question to you, but of course mm-hmm. all of you are welcome to respond to it. For people who are new maybe to contemporary visual art and would question why would, you know, this sort of project exploring plant life, urban ecologies, questioning of the Environmental Protection Agency take place within this visual arts space context or within the visual arts. If you could speak a little bit to the, that sort of intersectionality and across all of these different themes that you're addressing, not just in environmental issues, but you know, I think it's so fascinating the crack the patriarchy work that you're thinking about. I wonder if you could speak a little bit about this within the visual arts.
Sure. Yeah, I'm happy to. I mean, I think Andrea and Catherine certainly will have things to add to this, but I'm actually in a PhD program right now that is based on visual arts practice as a mode of contributing new knowledge. So I feel pretty strongly that the arts have something to offer in terms of not just like translating science or communicating it, but rather connecting it to really essential social and cultural issues and actually contributing new knowledge. So in the case of this project, I think that art's capacity to hold contradictions together and to imagine or actually enact new ways of living, like we want an environmental protection agency that is sensitive to ecological justice for all life forms, humans and non-humans, and we don't have that. So as artists, we have the liberty and the responsibility of attempting to enact that in the here and now. And combining the contradictions that come with the multiple meanings of weed into a single form that we can kind of turn in space in front of ourselves and use as kind of a way to jump off into a lot of other issues. So I think that this project couldn't really happen in any form except in art, and that it has the ability to reach people on different levels because of that kind of situated, being situated in art, but drawing on, like you mentioned, on, you know, environmental engineering and urban ecology and feminist science studies and pedagogy and decolonial studies and a host of others I won't go into now.
Catherine, do you want
to add to that?
Catherine,
yeah,
do you want to?
I can add on just one thought, is that I think just the crisis we're in globally, and it's very often described as also a crisis of imagination, as we find ourselves in like so many like issues that are like almost bigger than we can handle, and that have. The issues have outdated the systems of thinking and tackling that we have created. And I think art is the perfect place to really, address that challenge of imagination and really proposing new images, proposing new ideas, new ways of thinking that can then reflect back on our actual systems and political structures. And I think one of those struggles really is in the educational models we have is the separation of the disciplines and not being able to address issues holistically with their full complexity. And that's, I think, what many artists nowadays are really trying to do. Agreed.
Yeah, I agree both what they say, Catherine and Ellie. And just to bring it back, maybe to the Department of Media Affairs office. I think, talking with Chris about it, we were like, okay, what's the first three things we would say really what we want to achieve? And then we said shifting thinking about urban ecology, helping people use the body to connect with plant and other life forms, and then imagine the creation of a new US EPA or... You know, I like the idea of the word Ellie uses now so much with her lawn thing, disturbance. You know, how about shaking it up and disturbing it, you know, in different directions? And where non-humans have agency in the decision-making. And I think, you know, sometimes also thinking about, for me personally as an artist, urban weeds also is sometimes why I choose spontaneous urban plants to work with, not other plants. I think also they are standing for me for even humans that have no voice, you know, but they all like, they're thriving. And then I remember when I was working actually in Lagos, Nigeria, and where the 90% is informal economy and each one is an entrepreneur and they're going with their thing. Sometimes that reminds me too, this plant, even with all the harsh condition, and I'm actually amazed that they actually can grow. I'm looking at it and I even see how vulnerable they are and how much it takes them to come out in some of the disturbed sites. But they find their own language. And even I've noticed that some plants change, like Mark Warden's example in New York City, even looks very different and has a different characteristic than when I was in Berlin in disturbed sites, you know, because it depends how the soil is. And I always say, what's under our... Right now, we're sitting on a chair, right? Your feet are on a carpet, and then the carpet is on a wood. And then what is under this wood? And then you go further, and then you have this soil where all this life forms still waiting. And if something would happen, a crack here, something maybe will come up. And, you know, what that means, that next, as Catherine said, imagine new knowledge. And I think we're needing it.
Well, I think there are a lot of exciting questions to be explored through this project. And I'm really grateful to all of you for sharing this work at Transformer and expanding this conversation that you've been starting with your work in New York, here in Washington, D.C. And thank you all for being able to be a part of this conversation here today. So for audiences, we're talking about the Environmental Performance Agency and their Department of Weedy Affairs taking place at Transformer, 1404 P Street Northwest, opening this Saturday, May 5th, with programming throughout the day from 3 to 8 p.m., and programming extending throughout the run of the Department of Weedy Affairs at Transformer through June 16th. Please visit our website, transformerdc.org, for further details on all of this really incredible, very inventive and thoughtful programming that we are so honored to be able to be presenting to audiences here in the nation's capital.
And I just wanted, on behalf of the EPA, thanks so much, Victoria Rice, for having us and inviting us to Transformer. It's a big opportunity, and we're so grateful. Thanks so much.
Oh, we're thrilled, and yeah, hopefully
agreed.
This gets some attention to our leaders at the other EPA and is able to push the conversation that is very needed around that agency further. So thank you all so much. And thank you to Full Service Radio for having us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.